Hi, good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good. All right. If you are a guest with us this morning, I want to say thank you so much for choosing to join with us for worship this morning. We are so glad that you are here. And hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment and fill that out, that would be so helpful. And then just drop it in the offering plate as the offering plate comes by, or you can just leave it on the information table out in the foyer. And hopefully when you came in, you also received the bulletin, and hopefully everybody else did as well. So if you have a bulletin, take it out and let's take a look at some of the information. There's no activities this week, but there's some things you need to know about. And so one of those things is that Claire Schofield and Jonas Cable are serving as missionaries at camp all summer. And so their letters, their missionary letters, are out on the missionary board right out in the foyer as you leave the sanctuary. And so if you want to stop by and read those, that would be great. They are really well written. We could be very proud of the job that they did. Also, their preparations getting underway for the new club year. It seems like we just ended our club year for Awana, but there's preparations being made for that. And so if you served in Awana last year and are not returning, let Becky know. If you would like a different position than what you served in Awana last year. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, Awana is our youth ministry that goes from preschool all the way through high school. So if you would like a different position than what you served in last year, let Becky know. If you haven't served in Awana, but that sounds like something you'd like to participate in, let Becky know. And Becky, raise your hand so that those who maybe aren't aware of who you are would be able to do that. There's some other information in the bulletin, not going to take the time to go over those right now, but I've been holding off and holding off and holding off honoring graduates. We have two graduates from high school in our church family, and I've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and so one of them is here. The other one promised me last week that he would be here, but he's not. And so, you know what? I'm not going to wait because I don't want to keep having them sit in my office because they're not doing me any good. So I'm going to ask the one graduate who is here to come up and join me. So Alyssa, come on up. This is Alyssa Montano. She graduated from Ambrose High School, and she is going to be eventually going to Georgia, right, for film school. Also, our other graduate, Jack Schofield, is also going to be going to college, not right away, but he's going to be going to college for film. So I don't know, we've just got these creative young people in our church. That is really, really good. So Alyssa, we are really proud of you. What a great milestone this is. So from your church family, we have a little gift for you. Just stay right up here. And I'm going to ask Mom to come up here and get Jax, okay? All right, I already warned her. So it's not a surprise. So let's give them a hand, even though Jack isn't here in person. And let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Father, I thank you for these precious, precious people. Father, I remember when these were just kids. And Father, how you have just worked in their lives through these years. You have protected them. You have blessed them. And Father, you've blessed their families. You've blessed us as a church family because of them. And Father, to be able to see them hit this milestone in their life is a great honor. It's a great honor for me as pastor, and it's a great honor for us as a church. So Father, as they are preparing for the next chapter of their life, for the next step that you have, you know, the Bible says that the steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. And so Father, I pray that whatever those details are for them to be able to move on into this new chapter that you are leading them to do in their lives, Father, that all of those details will fall into place. Continue to bless them, continue to protect them, and Father, continue to allow us as a church family to hold them up in our prayers. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's give them another round of applause. So I don't know how many of you have got word, but we received some word from the Richies this morning, and I think it went down the prayer chain. And so there's some just bits of information. The first bit of information, by the way, those of you who don't know, the Richies are a family that are part of our church family here at Lake Hazel Bible Church that are serving short term for just a few weeks over in Uganda. Now for Jennifer, the mom, and the girls, the two young ladies, this isn't their first trip. For the father, this is the first trip. And they had to cajole, they had to guilt him, they had to do... Don't tell Brian I said that, but anyway, that's exactly the way that it happened, in order for Brian to be able to go. But I think he's enjoying it. I think God is really using him. So anyway, we got some information early on when they left on Monday and they got to Uganda. One of their suitcases did not arrive with them. Well, we got word today that the suitcase is at the airport, not here in Boise, but in Uganda. And they're going to get it sometime later on today. They said the teaching is going well. The leaders of the churches there are asking a lot of questions based upon the teaching, and it's just going well. And they've already been able to distribute some of the Bibles. Remember, as a church, we gave money for them to be able to buy Bibles, to be able to take over there, to be distributed in Uganda. And they sent us a video of the first distribution of some of the Bibles. And so we're going to show it to you right now. It's really short. I told you it was really short. Yeah. Seems like they're very excited to have a Bible in their own language, right? Have a Bible that they can be able to use and to be able to read God's Word. Now, those are just New Testaments with the Psalms and Proverbs. Is that right, Robert?
I'm not sure about the language ones.
Okay. Okay. All right. So anyway, you know what? Who knows what God's Holy Spirit's going to do with the passing out of the distribution of these Bibles, right? So we need to continue to pray for them. There are prayer calendars still out on the information table. So if you haven't picked one up yet, make sure that you do that so that you can pray for them each day as what it is that they are going to be doing for the Lord over in Uganda for the remaining time. All right, are you glad you're here this morning?
Yes.
You ready to worship?
Yes.
Ready to praise?
Yes.
All right, ready to tell God how much He means to you?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. Thanks,
would you all
team.
Stand with me this morning as we begin? We're going to start with the wonderful cross.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches came. To His blood. Oh. that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, all who gather here by grace draw near and bless your name. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so demands my soul, my life, my all.
Lord, thank you. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. Thank you. Lord, we say today that it deserves all that we have, our life, our all. It's amazing what you did for us. And so, Lord, we want to recognize you today and how awesome you are, how great you are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, his pain for me, who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race? 'Tis mercy all immense and free, for oh my God, it found out me. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? No condemnation now and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the Christ my own. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
Please be seated as we continue this morning.
Oh, what I would do to have the kind kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in. Onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. And he's holding out his hand, but the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves keep on telling me, time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant, with a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors, shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me, time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. But the stone was just the right size to put the giant on the ground. And the waves, they don't seem so high from on top of them looking down. I will soar with the wings of eagles when I stop and listen to the sound of Jesus singing over me. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe. Yes, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
We sing that song, Voice of Truth, because it's a reminder that all the garbage in this world that is swirling around in your mind, all the things that Satan wants to tell you, about who you are, it's not worth listening to. It's worth listening to him alone, Jesus. So remember, he is faithful. He loves you. He sent Jesus to die for you. God is so good. Don't ever lose track of that. He's faithful in the past. He's still faithful today. Amen?
Amen.
I am holding on to faith. 'cause I know you'll make a way. And I don't always understand, and I don't always get to see, but I will believe it, I will believe it. 'Cause you make mountains move, you make giants fall, you use songs of praise to shake prison walls. I will speak to my fear, I will preach to my doubt, that you were faithful then, you will be faithful now. I am standing on your word, I'm calling heaven down to earth, and you will fight my enemies, and this will end in victory. And I will believe it, yes, I will believe it. 'Cause you make mountains move, you make giants fall, you use songs of praise to shake prison walls. I will speak to my fear, and I will preach to my doubt, that you were faithful then, will be faithful now. And I know that I know you never fail. Yes, I know that I know you never will. And I know that I know you never fail. Yes, I know that I know you never will. 'Cause you make mountains move, you make giants fall, you use songs of praise to shake prison walls. I will speak to my fear, I will preach to my doubt, that you were faithful then, you will be faithful now. You were faithful then, you will be faithful now.
Amen. God is faithful. As we take this morning's offering, our ushers are going to come and pass plates in front of you. And I want you to remember one thing and one thing only. God does not need your money. He wants your heart. So give only, because you want to worship him today, okay?
If you curse me, then I will bless you. If you hurt me, I will forgive. And if you hate me, then I will love you. I choose the Jesus way. If you're helpless, I will defend you, and if you're burdened, I'll share the weight. And if you're hopeless, then let me show you there's hope in the Jesus way. I follow Jesus, He wore my sin, I'll gladly wear His name. He is the treasure, He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. If you strike me, I will embrace you. If you chain me, I'll sing His praise. And if you kill me, my home is heaven, for I choose a Jesus way. I follow Jesus, He wore my sin, I'll gladly wear His name. He is the treasure, He choose the Jesus way. I choose surrender. I choose to love. Oh God, my Savior, you'll always be enough. I choose forgiveness. I choose grace. I choose to worship no matter what I face. I choose the Jesus way. 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 I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. He wore my sin. I'll gladly wear his name. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way. He is the treasure. He is the answer. Oh, I choose the Jesus way.
Wow. Thank you, worship team. You know, life is all about attitude, isn't it? Whether it's, are we going to live our lives according to the world, or are we going to live our lives according to God's word? It's a matter of what? Attitude. We sang these songs this morning, not because Jared and I got together and I told him where we were going with the message, but because the Holy Spirit was speaking to him, and these were the songs that God's Holy Spirit led him to. But we're going to be looking, we're going to be focusing this morning on attitude. Because in order for us to be able to follow what it is that God wants us to follow and be who it is that God wants us to be, it's about attitude. When you read something in God's word and you say, you know what, that needs to be a part of my life, that's an attitude. You need to say, hey, this is where I need to be. If you hear a sermon and the sermon touches your heart and you say, you know what, man, I need to do what it is that, you know, the pastor was preaching about. That's an attitude. You got to have the attitude to be able to say, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to make sure that I have the right attitude. We had a really good illustration of this morning. So I don't know how many of you noticed when you came in that we have a brand new rug sitting out in front of the front doors that has the LHBC name and logo on it. Ooh, yes, right? We are moving up, right? And it was interesting because from time to time I would check with Michael to see how many people had noticed, and there wasn't a whole lot of people. But then somebody came through the door and they noticed, and someone else said, you get to enter in because you paid attention, you noticed. And it's like, no, don't tell anybody that. We don't want them to think because they didn't notice they can't come in. We need to change that attitude, right? And so attitude is something that we need to make sure we are doing in its proper context and in its proper way. And that's kind of where we're going with this message. So I'm going to start with, thank God for kids. Thank God for kids. We honored two kids this morning. Well, when I first came as pastor almost 13 years ago, they were kids. And now they're graduating from high school. Some of them have grown up and they're off to college. And wow, it's just amazing, right, to be able to see what God is doing with the kids of Lake Hazel Bible Church. Two of our high school kids are serving at Shiloh Bible Camp, and a lot more going there this summer as campers. Amazing, isn't it? I just thank God for kids, because children have a way of looking at things with an amazing attitude. You know, when I look at a patch of dandelions, I see a bunch of weeds that are going to take over the yard. Kids see flowers for mom and blowing white fluff you can make wishes on. Isn't that true? And sometimes they even bring them in the house, right? And they go, watch this! And you go, no! Right? When I look at someone standing on a corner with a sign, I see someone who wants money and I look away. Kids see someone smiling at them and they smile back. When I hear music I love, I know I can't carry a tune and don't have much rhythm, so I sit self-consciously and listen, or I sing when no one else is around. Kids feel the beat and move to it. They sing out the words, and if they don't know them, they make up their own. When I feel the wind on my face, I brace myself against it. I feel it messing up my hair and pulling me back when I walk. Kids close their eyes, spread their arms, and fly with it until they fall to the ground laughing. When I pray, I say thee and thou and grant me this and give me that. Kids say, hi, God. Thanks for my toys and my friends. Please keep the bad dreams away tonight. Sorry, I don't want to go to heaven yet because I would miss mommy and daddy. When I see a mud puddle, I step around it. I see muddy shoes and clothes and dirty carpets. Kids sit in it. They see dams to build, rivers to cross, and worms to play with. So what's our attitude? Are we given children to teach, or are we given children to learn from? Whoa. Wow, Pastor, you went really deep, really quick, right? But it's all in the attitude. Would you agree? It's all in the attitude. We can look at the challenges of life and be discouraged, or we can see them as opportunities for growth and for God to demonstrate his power in us. It all depends on attitude. We're going to look at Joshua 6, chapter 16 and 17 this morning. We're going to see the attitude of the Israelites. So if you haven't found it in your Bible yet, hurry up and get there, okay? Because I'm about ready to be able to start. So Joshua chapter 16, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. The allotment of the people of Joseph went from the Jordan by Jericho, east of the waters of Jericho, into the wilderness, going up from Jericho into the hill country of Bethel. Then going from Bethel to Luz, it passes along to Ataroth, the territory of the Archites. Then it goes down westward to the territory of the Japhethites, as far as the territory of lower Beth Horon, then to Gezer, and it ends at the sea. The people of Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim received their inheritance. As Joshua divides up the land, and we've been looking at some of the earlier chapters in the book of Joshua, as Joshua has been doing that, as Joshua divides up the land of Canaan, Joseph's descendants, are you ready for this? They get the best part. They get the best part. Remember Caleb? Caleb said, give me the mountain, right? He said, God and I, we'll do something with that mountain. We're not afraid. We're not afraid of the giants that live there. We're not afraid of the work that it's going to take to be able to make it profitable. Give me the mountain. Remember that? We said, bring it on, right? But now Joshua divides up the land of Canaan to Joseph's descendants, and they get the best part of the land. As described here, it is the central part of the land, and it was the most beautiful and fertile part. However, Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So that part needed to be divided between those two tribes. And the rest of the chapter goes on to describe Ephraim's portion, which I'm not going to take the time to read except for verse 10. Look at verse 10. However, they did not drive out the Canaanites who lived in Gezer. So the Canaanites have lived in the midst of the Ephraim to this day, the day of this writing, but have been made to do forced labor. Get the picture? Instead of driving out the Canaanites, Ephraim's descendants chose to make them slaves in direct disobedience to God's instructions. Because God's instructions were very clear, and they're recorded for us in Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 17, where God said, you shall devote them, the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, to complete destruction. But as far as the attitude of the Ephraimites was, it just makes sense not to destroy them when they could be of use. They can do all of the work. They can pay taxes. They can make Ephraim wealthy. So in other words, these Israelites choose convenience over obedience. Now, we might be going, how in the world, when God made his instructions very, very clear, and he gave them the same instructions over and over again as they were preparing to go back into the land of Canaan, to go back into the promised land, how could they disregard that? How could they choose convenience rather than obedience? Don't be too hard. How many times have you and I done that in our lives? How many times have we heard a message from God's word? How many times have we read God's word and we know that God is wanting us to be something and do something that he has instructed us to be able to be and do? And we go, well, I know what that says. I understand what it means. But you know what? I'm going to do my own thing because it's more convenient. It's not as difficult. I'm comfortable being the person that I've become. I'm comfortable doing the things that I do. Yes, I know that God probably doesn't want that to be a part of my life, but it's convenient. It's convenient. When I'm around my friends, when I'm around my coworkers, when I'm around my classmates, when I'm around the people in my community, yeah, I can be that way. When I'm with my church family, when I'm wanting to please God, yeah, I'll do something different, right? How many times have we chosen convenience over obedience? That's what's going on here with Ephraim. And by the way, the descendants of Manasseh did the very same thing as their brother Ephraim did. They chose to disobey God. Joshua chapter 17. So if you haven't found Joshua chapter 17 yet, turn over to Joshua chapter 17. Listen as I read verses 12 and 13. Yet the people of Manasseh could not take possession of these cities, but the Canaanites persisted in dwelling in that land. Now when the people of Israel grew strong, they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not utterly drive them out. Now at first, Manasseh's descendants could not drive the Canaanites out. Why? Because they weren't a mighty group of people. They were a few group of people. But as they became stronger, as they became more numerous, plus the fact that they weren't really warriors, but as they began to understand how important it was to be able to protect what it is that was given to them, and they became more and more stronger in their defenses as well as in their numbers, they could drive them out. But when Manasseh got strong enough, they would not drive the Canaanites out. Do you understand the difference? First, they could not. It wasn't possible. When it became possible, they what? What was their attitude? We're not going to do that. We're not going to drive the Canaanites out. Just like their brothers, they chose to what? Disobey God. They did what? They chose convenience over obedience. Eventually, the Canaanites grew strong enough to enslave these Israelites, according to the book of Judges. What? How'd that work out? How'd that work out? Okay. Ephraim and Manasseh thought they could compromise with the enemy and up with a win. What happened? Their compromise eventually put them in bondage. Don't ever do this. Don't give in to an attitude of compromise. Don't compromise the word of God. Don't compromise the promises of God. Don't compromise the instructions of God's word. Don't ever, ever give in to an attitude of compromise. Stand by the stuff. Stand by the truth. Listen not to the voice of Satan, but listen to the voice of truth. Did we just sing a song about that? Yeah, I think we did. Okay? All right? Now, you might be here this morning, and you might be saying, okay, so, Pastor Sam, I think you're telling me that I probably need to change my attitude. I'm not. God might be. I'm just telling you what happened with the tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim. They had the wrong attitude. They chose convenience instead of obedience. I'm telling you, don't ever compromise. It led to heartache down the road for them. It led to enslavement down the road for them. And you know what? It could lead you to those very same places. So then you might be saying, so, okay, Pastor Sam, what do I do? All right, buckle up. Okay, put your spiritual seatbelt on, because here we go. I'm going to give you two ways to attend to your attitude. Here's the first one. Thoroughly follow God. Whoa, that's pretty simple. You're right. It's pretty simple. But we make it so difficult, right? Thoroughly follow God. Choose to follow God. And when you choose to follow God, it will keep you from compromising for evil. A 12-year-old girl in New York City is being hailed for her bravery in a recent argument with a male classmate that almost turned violent. The dispute? The boy asked for one of her McDonald's chicken nuggets, but she refused. The boy then followed the girl into a nearby subway station, pulled out a gun, and pointed the weapon at her head. Even at gunpoint, the girl refused to hand over even one nugget, the police said. The New York Police Department told the Daily News she knocked the gun away from the boy and told him to leave her alone and went about the rest of her day. Police later found the boy and charged him with juvenile attempted robbery. Now, we need to admire her courage in refusing to give in to intimidation. Yes, it was just a chicken nugget. But the girl refused to let a force for evil bully her. That's the point. Can a believer in Jesus do no less? Especially when God is with us. You see, a lot of times we give in because our attitude is, you know what? I'm just going to give in. I'm just going to give in to the wickedness. I'm just going to give in to the evil. I'm just going to give in to the sin. I'm just going to give in to the nature of the culture and where it's headed. I'm just going to give in. And we let the evil force bully us. Can I remind you of something? God is with us. And so we don't have to give in to the devil. We don't have to compromise with evil in any way. We don't need to do it. Read Romans chapter 6. Paul makes it very clear. We do not have to let sin have dominion over our lives. We do not have to let sin have control over our lives. It's a matter of what? Attitude. We're going to take God at his word? Or are we just going to give in? We're just going to let the evil and the wickedness and the sin bully us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Why do we let the world bully us? Why do we let sin and Satan bully us? God is in us. God is with us. And in the Romans chapter 8, it says that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us so. Talking about who? Jesus. How did Jesus demonstrate his love to us? He went to the cross for us. He took on that sin. He became the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. We don't have to give in to the wickedness and the evil. We don't have to let Satan and sin bully us any longer. We can change our attitude. Jesus' death on the cross rendered Satan powerless, and we do not have to put up with his schemes. Ephesians chapter 6. Follow God and do not let the enemy intimidate you. Do not compromise with evil in any way. If necessary, change your attitude. Do not be deceived to compromise one bit with sin. Now, if you want to trade an attitude of defeat for an attitude of victory, then stop compromising. Here's the second thing. Thoroughly appreciate all that God has given you. Thoroughly appreciate all that God has given you. Well, Pastor, that sounds as simple as the first point. Thoroughly follow God. You're right. this isn't difficult. Well, it might be difficult because our attitude is not where it needs to be. And therefore, our attitude gets in the way. Right? Be thankful for all of God's blessings in your life and do not complain about the blessings he has sent your way. You know, from time to time in my chapels at Valley View, we sing this song called This Is the Day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And how's the song go? This is the day that the Lord has made. We will. Oh, we will what? We will what? Rejoice and what? Be glad in it. But how many times do we look at the day that the Lord has made and we rejoice and grumble in it? Or we rejoice and complain about it? Or we look at what the day may hold and we are afraid. We lose our confidence. We lose our trust in the fact that God is going to bring us through whatever circumstances come our way. He's going to bring us through. It's a matter of what? Attitude. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will grumble and complain. Or this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and what? Be glad in it. And by the way, that comes from the book of Psalms, in case you were wondering. Okay? So Joseph's descendants were given the best part of the land, but all they could do was complain. Look at chapter 17 and verse 14. Then the people of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, "Why have you given me but one lot and one portion as an inheritance, although I am a numerous people, since all along the Lord has blessed me?" What are they saying here? Why did you give us this? Why did you give us only one portion? Well, wait a minute. Back in chapter 16, didn't we learn that Joshua had given them what? The best of the land. The best part. They got the best. More so than all of the other tribes. And yet now they're what? Complaining. Oh, this is the land that God has given us. We will complain and murmur. Because it's just a small portion. It's the best portion. But it's so small. Do we do that? Do we find out that some of our friends, some of our church family, some in the spiritual community in which we move about in, and God blesses somebody really, really, really well, and we go, "What about me? Why didn't he bless me that way? Why did he bless them that way? What about me?" It's all a matter of what? Attitude, isn't it? And I like what Joshua's, what did they say? "You didn't give us enough." Even though they had the best part of the land, and even though they were given Shiloh, the city where the tabernacle would remain for 300 years, God had chosen to display his presence right there in their land, and all they could do is be ungrateful. And I love Joshua's response. Look at verse 15, chapter 17, verse 15. Listen to what Joshua said. "You are a numerous people. Go up by yourselves to the forest, and there clear ground for yourselves in the land of the Perizzites and the Rephaim, since the hill country of Ephraim is too narrow for you." What does Joshua say? If you want more land, go clear it out. Clear out the land that you've been given. Take care of the land that you've been given. You certainly have enough people to do it. And then they complained that they had too many people for the amount of land they were given. So Joshua says, okay, use those people to clear out more land for yourself. And yet they still complained. Look at verse 16. The people of Joshua said, "The hill country is not enough for us. Yet all the Canaanites who dwell in the plain have chariots of iron, both those in Beth Shean and its villages and those in the valley of Jezreel." Now they're complaining that the enemy's too powerful. Joshua says, listen, you got numerous people. You've got land. Yes, there's trees on those lands. Go out and clear the trees. You'll have more land to be able to do whatever it is you want to do. And they go, no, we can't do that. Why? Because the enemy is too powerful. Look at verses 17 and 18. Then Joshua said to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, "You are a numerous people, and you have great power. You shall not have one allotment alone, but the hill country shall be yours, for though it is a forest, you shall clear it and possess it to its farthest borders. For you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have chariots of iron and though that they are strong." What is Joshua doing here? Joshua is giving up a part of his land, the hill country, to give to them. For what? To be able to show them how wrong their attitude is. Joshua is saying, listen, take part of my land. Take part of my allotment. Go ahead. And Joshua doesn't accept their complaints and excuses. He tells them they have enough people to clear out the forest and to drive out the Canaanites. They have what it takes to take complete possession of the land. But what is it that keeps them from moving forward? It's their attitude. Folks, please, don't have the same attitude. Don't complain. Because when we are complaining, we are displaying an attitude of defeat. Let me say that again. When we are complaining, we are displaying an attitude of defeat. Several years ago, a comedian described today's entitlement culture. He stated that in our culture, everything's amazing and nobody's happy. Let that settle in for a moment. Everything's amazing. Technology is at its height. It's greater now than it ever has been in known history. But yet, we want what? Something better. We want a better TV. We want a bigger TV. We want a better iPad. We want a bigger iPad. We want a better phone. We want a bigger phone. We want one. We want a phone that doesn't do what it's doing now, but we want a phone that does more. And most of us can't even figure out the phone we do have. Or the phone that we had several years ago. Remember when flip phones were so easy? Smartphones aren't. Yeah, I know, Dave. Okay. All right. Dave is holding on to the 19th century with as much as he can. All right. I'm just kidding, Dave. But isn't that true? We always want what? Something better. Something bigger. Everything's amazing. Technology is so amazing. And nobody's happy. The comedian talked about how he was on a plane that offered in-flight Wi-Fi access to the internet. One of the first planes to do so. But when it stopped working after a few minutes, the man sitting next to him swore in disgust. The comedian was amazed and said how quickly this man concluded that the world owed him something that he didn't even know existed 10 seconds ago. Whoa. Truth and humor, right? Or humor and truth. He then talked about how many of us describe less than perfect airline flights as if they were experiences from a horror film. You ever got off a plane and said, it's the worst day of my life, right? First, we didn't board for 20 minutes. Really? You're in an airplane. You're in an airport waiting to get on an airplane. What else you got to do in those 20 minutes? And then we get on the plane and they made us sit on the tarmac for 40 minutes. Really? You're in an airplane getting ready to take off, to go from point A to point B faster than you could have gotten in your car and driven there. What were you going to do in those 40 minutes? Then the comedian said mockingly, oh, really? I wanted to say, did you fly through the air incredibly like a bird? Did you partake in the miracle of human flight? Everybody on every plane should always be going, oh, wow. You're sitting in a chair in the sky. And then he talked about a passenger who, trying to put his seat back, complained, it doesn't go back far enough. Really? You're on a plane. It's not your recliner at home in your living room. I think this bit of humor helps us see how silly our complaints can be. And why? Because it's a matter of attitude, isn't it? If you want to exchange an attitude of defeat for an attitude of victory, do not complain about your blessings from God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Get this. You are blessed this morning as a believer in what Jesus has done for you on the cross with every spiritual blessing. Every class. Does every mean every? Is God withholding any spiritual blessing from us? No, not according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. What do we have to complain about? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Class, does all mean all? all things that pertain to life and godliness. You want to know how to have success in this life? Follow God. Follow God thoroughly. Appreciate the blessings he has given to you. Stop complaining and be thankful to God for his many blessings in your life. Be grateful for all that he has done for you, for gratitude is the attitude of victory. I'm reminded of a hymn that we sing from time to time. The name of the hymn, how many of you already know? Count Your Blessings. The hymn goes like this. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your blessings, name them one by one, and get this, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Why are you surprised? Because your attitude is not in the right place. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. How do we do that? Most of the time with a change of attitude. Instead of complaining, look for three blessings to be thankful for every day. Is that too much to ask? Instead of complaining, look for three blessings to be thankful for every day. Okay, take a moment right now. Take a moment right now and think about three blessings God has given you already today. Here's my list of three. I'm in good health. Am I in perfect health? No. Have I ever been in perfect health? No. When will I be in perfect health? When I'm in glory. When I have my glorified body. But I'm in good health. And every day I thank God for that. Can I do the things I used to do? Nope. Do I have limitations? Yes. Does my body function the way that it you did when I was younger? No. But by and large, I'm in good health. Here's the second thing I'm thankful for today. I'm able to be in church with my church family. If that wasn't on your list, you can go ahead and include that. Here's the first thing I'm thankful for. Because I believe in Jesus as my Savior, I've been given the gift of eternal life. And that means someday I'm going to spend that eternal life in Jesus' presence. Can it get any better than that? And I didn't have to do anything to be able to gain that. All I had to do was believe that Jesus took my sin on himself on the cross. He came to this world to be the Savior who takes away the sin of the world, and he did that for me, and he's done that for you. What have we got to complain about? There's nothing more I should complain about, and neither should you. You know, I tell people, when we count up our blessings, and we get a number that is higher than zero, we really are blessed. If you couldn't come up with three this morning, but you came up with one, you're blessed. If you came up with three, you're blessed. If you came up with more, you're blessed. And because we are a blessed people, what have we have to complain about? God has given us the best of the best because he knows what's best for us. So what do I want you to learn from this morning? Where's your heart? Where's your heart today? Is it filled with trust in God or is it filled with fear? Where's your attitude today? With God's help, you can change your attitude. You can trade an attitude of defeat for an attitude of victory in your life, but only when you follow God thoroughly and you appreciate all that God has given you. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you will change our attitudes. And Father, by changing our attitudes, you will help us to be able to follow you thoroughly, to follow the instructions that you have given to us in your word, to stand on the promises that you have given to us in your word, and then to appreciate all that you have given to us. Father, we appreciate all that you have given to us, not by the standard of the world, but by the standard of eternity, by the standard of your graciousness, by the standard of your goodness. Father, help us to follow you and help us to see how blessed we are. Father, if necessary, change our attitude. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song?
You did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself with frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me. And I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save.
An attitude of gratitude today in Jesus' name. Amen.